Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
And Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he finds it for a dunk. Jam! Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Rozier to the logo. Down to 4 seconds, 3 seconds off the screen. Rozier stumbled with the ball, fades into a jumper. It's good at the buzzer! They're going to count it. The Warrior bench thought that Rozier turned the ball over on a carry, but he hits the game winner. And a heartbreak for Golden State. The Hornets mobbing Rozier as he hit the corner three.
And Terry Rozier would score the final 10 Charlotte Hornets points of the ball game as the Hornets come back and beat the Warriors tonight 102-100. Just a heartbreaking loss for Golden State, as Tim Roy laid out for you there. We welcome you into Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson and Ryan Covey. A lot to get to and unpack from this one. My goodness, you thought last night's game was difficult to digest for the Warriors. There are a whole lot of things going on tonight, starting with right before tip when the Warriors found out that Stephen Curry wasn't going to be available to play in this one. Not COVID or health and safety protocol related at this point, but just not feeling well. Got checked out by the Charlotte doctor and unable to go in this one. Warriors come out, and after a rough start where they were out of sorts, they play an incredible game for being shorthanded and without their MVP candidate, only to blow another fourth quarter lead. This one 10 inside of 5 minutes to go in the ball game. 21-9, the closing run for the Hornets in this one. And you've got calls to talk about. We've got the Draymond technical to talk about. No calls. Should there have been timeout calls, challenges? I mean, there is a ton to unpack here over the course of the next hour, and we're going to do it. How you feeling, buddy?
I mean, I'm fine. I wouldn't blame any Warriors fan for being irate right now. I would be irate at the way this game was officiated. I'd be irate at the way this game was coached by Steve Kerr. And I'd be irate at the fact that the Warriors blew a lead and put themselves in a position to give that game back to the Charlotte Hornets. And I'd be irate at Draymond Green. Like, even – and that's where I really kind of want to jump off. I mean, even if – you don't agree with the way that the jump ball was handled and the issuance of the timeout there. Worst case scenario, you're still up two. You got to play a little defense, get a stop, win the game, keep it moving. Worst case scenario, maybe you go to overtime. You got teed up twice? Come on. That's unacceptable. That's That's not leadership, JD. I'm sorry. It's not. And to Draymond's credit, I see Slater and Letourneau have just tweeted out. Pascal said that Draymond Green came into the locker room postgame and said the loss was his fault. So he's taking ownership of it. So anybody that has exception with me saying that I think it's on Draymond, Draymond said it as much himself. You just can't have it, man. You have to hold it together in that situation. And he's shown time and time again he's incapable of doing it.
Yeah, it just flat out cannot happen. At that point, it's a two-point game. And look, I thought initially that off the jump ball, I thought, and it, first of all, let's go back to Wanamaker. I thought Wanamaker was fouled before he got tied up. I thought Wanamaker should have called a timeout once they didn't get the foul call. I thought Steve Kerr probably or somebody on the bench should have tried to call a timeout to get Wanamaker out of the trouble that he was in. Then we go to the jump ball, and I'm thinking Draymond fouled Gordon Hayward on the scrum after the jump ball. Initially, I'm thinking that's why he's so ticked off about it. It didn't look like Gordon Hayward had possession for long enough to call the timeout. Agreed. So I think that was improperly officiated. But then the one thing that absolutely cannot happen is Draymond Green losing his mind and picking up two technical fouls and getting himself ejected in that moment, because it basically turns the situation into, okay, the worst case scenario is, like you said, you got to play defense. Maybe they hit a three on you and you lose. Maybe you give up a Terry Rozier contested two and you go to overtime and you live to fight for another 5 minutes. But the one thing that absolutely cannot happen is exactly what happened, and that's him completely losing his mind, losing his cool, and picking up a couple of technical fouls. It's just unacceptable. It's a line crossed that cannot be crossed. So it is good to see that Draymond addressed it. I know we're going to hear from Steve Kerr. We'll hear from Eric Pascal and others. But it's just an unfortunate situation in what winds up being just a real gut punch loss for the Warriors on top of a gut punch loss last night. So 888-957-9570. Tonight's a night where I feel like Warriors fans, we open up the floor and can allow the people that want to do so via text and via the phone lines, let them vent. Let them vent about Coach Kerr. Let them vent about the inability to defend, seemingly, when you have a game in hand. I mean, 21 points allowed in the final, basically 5:06 of this one. I mean, that's rough. And the Warriors just unable to finish the deal on a night where, when this thing tipped off, Covey, I was thinking, how the heck are they going to win a game tonight, period, without having a potential MVP candidate in Stephen Curry?
Yeah, and it's so funny, like, as the game went on, that ended up being the furthest thing from everybody's mind. I know you quote-tweeted, you know, me with about 5 minutes to go. I said, well, this, you know, once the Warriors got up 10, I'm like, well, this now just officially becomes a gotta-have-it game. Nobody would have expected you to be in a position to win that game, but yet there you were up 10. So when you're scratching and clawing for everything that this team is hoping to accomplish this year, and those these margins are so thin, your margin for error is almost nil, you have to find a way to win this basketball game. So it went from, man, I'll be surprised if they can hang tonight, to, man, they better win this game. And unfortunately, they didn't. You know, the Wanamaker play was tough because you're up two. You get the offensive rebound. This team has been so thirsty for any type of production on the offensive glass. They get what I was about to tweet out was, well, that's the biggest offensive rebound of the year. And then I look up, I'm like, wait, what? And then, you know, I had to rewind and I'm like, well, how is he getting tied up there? And I agree with you, JD. I actually thought he got fouled. I thought Charlotte would foul him immediately. I mean, you know, what are you going to let him run the clock there and let him run the game out? I mean, at that point, Charlotte has to foul. So either if you get in a situation where you might get tied up, just call timeout. I agree with you. The bench should have called timeout. That thing got away from him so fast. I was thinking of Ron Burgundy. Like, boy, that escalated quickly. And then all of a sudden, JD, didn't you just know Terry Rozier was going to hit that shot too? I mean, it's scary Terry fading away from the corner. You know, Oubre had him, pass him off to JTA, and you knew that thing was money, even though he might have traveled too.
Yeah, it looked like there might have been a palming violation or a carrying violation there upon further review. The part that's the most frustrating for me as far as this game, and I look at it, you know, in relation to the Warriors, is the fact that they outworked, undermanned, they outworked Charlotte really for the whole night, you know, in terms of getting, you know, defending, you know, getting on the boards, out hustling them. I mean, I think Charlotte looked like a team that hadn't played in 6 days, but the Warriors were right there to take advantage. They were willing to do all the dirty work that it was going to take to give themselves a chance to win this game on the second of a back-to-back without their superstar. And it was going to wind up being you know, one of the real signature victories of this season. And it all gets wiped away so quickly and really so violently with the loss of emotion. And to your point about Rozier, I actually had it in the back of my mind. I had flashbacks to Dion Waiters against the Warriors. My thought was, Charlotte's going to get the tip, and it's just going to go to Rozier, and Rozier's just going to do his Dion Waiters, where he just dribbles it like 10 times between his legs and pulls up from like 28.
Yeah,
and it was going to be win or lose right there. Like, just win or lose, it was going to be in Rozier's hands. So a lot to unpack in this one. 888-957-9570. We do have people that want to talk on the phone lines. We will hear from Steve Kerr as well. We're going to keep it rolling until 9 o'clock. Hornets beat the Warriors tonight, 102-100, and Charlotte wound up hitting 23-pointers tonight. All night long, it did feel a little bit like, hey, Charlotte, the only thing Charlotte was doing well was they were making threes. And I know they are a top 10 team in terms of three-point shooting in the league. And it just felt like the Warriors, you know, it felt like the Warriors really deserved to win the game given how hard they worked. But they gave it all back in the last 440 and then lost their cool, lost their composure down the stretch. And I do think there are some things that are fair game to question about Steve Kerr in this one. As well, which we'll get to. Joe in San Francisco, though, is up first, our tip-off caller here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Joe, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen. First, my senior pugs, Dino and Cleo, giving a shout-out to Knuckles.
Right.
Second, God bless the Warriors and Draymond Green for creating interest on a Saturday night at Sports Talk Radio. But let me just say about Draymond, yeah, he clearly lost control. No doubt about that. But where would the Warriors be without Draymond? And if people are going to sit there, as I've heard people chirping about he's only scoring 4 points a game, 6 points a game, 7 points a game. Are we going to crush Buster Posey for hitting nine home runs and driving in 58 RBIs this year?
Yeah, I think
I think
Giants fans do that, Joe.
Yeah,
actually, I think
will.
Giants fans have done that, and Crawford and Belt, for that matter.
But it's like we love Buster, but he doesn't do anything offensively. But he is so integral to the Giants, and the same thing with Draymond. He doesn't score mega points. He's never been a point scorer, but he is so integral to the way the Warriors play.
No doubt, and I appreciate the call, Joe. Here's the thing. You can love Draymond Green as a Warriors fan for everything that he brings to the table and everything he's brought to the table in helping the Warriors win three championships and get to five finals and be a defensive player of the year and all that. You can love him for all of that and still say what he did tonight was completely over the top and over the line and unacceptable and cannot happen. Both things can be true.
Of course. I mean, that's it. Like, that's life in Draymond Green's world. And for a Warriors fan, that's life having Draymond Green on your basketball team. You take the bitter with the sweet. I mean, this isn't the first time that something like this has happened. Draymond Green has lost his cool on a number of occasions, and it's cost this team dearly. Draymond Green has lost sight of the ultimate objective, the team goal. And I always hear about what a great teammate he is. And look, I get it. Like, we're all flawed. Okay, Draymond is clearly flawed. That's why he's such a fascinating topic of conversation, no doubt. But nights like tonight, it's maddening. Like, I'm sorry. You cannot have that. You can't do it. You're about to win a game without Steph Curry, okay? Like, at the tip-off, nobody would have thought that was even possible. But yet, here they are. Guys like Oubre, scratching and clawing. Pascal played his ass off tonight. He robs those guys of terrific efforts that help the team. And sure, Draymond does plenty of things throughout the game that will help you win on both ends of the floor. Nobody's arguing that. I think we've all resolved the fact that Draymond Green's not a scorer. That's fine. Warriors still have plenty of scoring at this point, more than I thought they'd have, actually. But You can't sabotage your team like that because you want to feel better about yourself in the moment because you can't keep your cool. That's not leadership.
No, it's not leadership, and there it just doesn't need to be qualified. Like it just can't happen in that
right.
situation. I don't care what you think of Draymond Green. What we saw happen tonight can't happen. Like point blank, period, end of story. You cannot gift wrap your opponent 2 free points in a 2-point game where the bad call in your mind that you're arguing is going to give them the final possession on top of that. You take a situation where, I would love to see what your win probability was from the moment, hey, they're going to have a jump ball up 2 in the final seconds to double, 2 technical fouls, what that flips it to, just in that moment. A lot of people at 888-957-9570. Chris in West Oakland is up next here on Warriors Wrap Up. Hey, Chris, what do you got for us tonight?
Hey, guys. First off, you're 100% right about Draymond. It's okay, to appreciate everything he does, but be pissed off when he does stupid stuff like he did tonight. And, and again, the true value of Draymond is when this team is firing on all cylinders, when you have Clay, when you are ready for a championship. That's when Draymond is really at his most valuable. But that being said, I'm going to 3 quick points, guys, and I'm out of here. Number one, Brad Wanamaker. You cannot allow yourself to get tied up in that situation. However, in defense of him, as a referee, you know they're going to foul in that situation. By not calling the foul in the jump ball, when Charlotte was trying to foul, was bad call number one. Bad call number two, the technical foul. I cannot condoning anything Draymond said, but guys, I'm old school. Unless you put your hands on a referee, there is no words that you can say that should warrant a technical foul in a 2-point game with under 10 seconds. Fine him, send it to the league, do something. You do not make a technical call in that situation, not condoning how stupid Draymond was, yeah. But I just don't believe that. And third, I've seen Kerr do this a few times. How do you allow Rozier to get off 3 shots in the last 25 seconds when you know he's not going to pass the freaking ball? Double and triple team him. Make somebody else beat you. You sure don't start out with Oubre and then pass him off to JTA. That was, like I said, guy made a tough shot, but there's no way they should not have run 2 or 3 defenders and made somebody else on that team beat him. Anyway, thanks for letting me rant, guys. I am pissed off tonight. I'm going to have a shot of Crown Royal and calm down. Talk to you later.
Great call.
Chris, appreciate it. Excellent phone call. And look, I think I agree with the takeaway as far as the Wanamaker play. Yes, you cannot get tied up in that situation. You have to know you have a couple of timeouts there. I think where he fell asleep was he thought he got fouled. I agree with the call in terms of the officials know that they're trying to foul in that situation. So typically what you'll see is even any kind of contact. Sometimes the player won't even make contact and the ref will blow the whistle because they know that the team is trying to foul in that situation. When that call wasn't made, then Wanamaker made himself vulnerable. Then there was the jump ball. In between the foul that should have been called and the jump ball, somebody should have called a timeout because the Warriors, by my notes, ended up leaving 2 of them on the table
yep.
tonight. Like they ended up with 2 timeouts in their back pocket tonight that they wound up not using. And the other issue that I had tonight, and I know Steve Kerr addressed this, and we got a bunch of sound from Steve Kerr. I want to let the people, though, on the phone lines get the first opportunity before we hear from Coach. The Oubre dunk attempt that was blocked
yep.
and went out of bounds, Steve Kerr was asked about that, and he said, well, you can't challenge a non-call. Well, I think you can challenge the ball going out of bounds. That is the call, is it went out of bounds off of Oubre. So I think Steve Kerr was a little bit unclear maybe in the question or what exactly happened on that play. It wasn't you're saying Oubre got fouled and you're challenging that. That part you can't challenge because there was no foul called, but you can challenge whether the defender blocked the ball and it went out of bounds. The out of bounds play is the call. So you can challenge that. And that was something that I think, again, in a moment where, you're trying, I know it's frantic and everything and there's a lot going on, but that's a moment where I feel like the bench has to have a little bit of poise and say, hey, with a couple of timeouts in the pocket, maybe this is something that needs to, get looked at. and have the potential to be overturned.
I don't think there's any doubt. Kerr was asleep at the wheel, man. And Steve Kerr is a hell of a coach. Steve Kerr's got titles. Steve Kerr's not above making mistakes and having a rough night at the office. I think he'd probably tell you he didn't handle the end of that game situation very well. The Warriors, as a squad from the top on down, lost their composure tonight.
Drew in Oakland is next. Hey, Drew, you're on Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570 as the Hornets beat the Dubs tonight, 102-100.
Hey, guys, I'm on fire tonight. Just to piggyback off that last guy's call, here's the thing. You know, Steve Kerr has gotten many passes on the last 2 minutes in a game where he just lets them play. And I'm tired of that because if this didn't happen with Draymond, we would have been talking about Kerr's coaching in the last few minutes. Now, granted, Draymond can't go off like that. And even after the first one, he should have been like, okay, they're not playing. I need to walk away from this. But he kept barking, and that's why we're talking about this. But there's a lot going on to unpack. And now with Wanamaker, why didn't anyone call timeout? Where's Mike Brown in Kerr's ear saying, hey, we need to call timeout if we get the ball back because we need to get a play drawn up? And then how are you going to let Rozier march right back down when Oubre hits the buzzer shot to hit another three and then make it 2 points again? I mean, where's the defense there? What's Kerr drawing up right there? So I'm coming down Draymond's alley for not walking away. I'm coming down Kerr's alley. I'm coming down Mike Brown's alley for not watching this and say, hey, he's the assistant coach. He needs to be on top of this. And so, you know, at the end of the day, we lost the game because it's a communicative effort. Yep. It was all of those guys. And then, JD, I want to get your take because I got a feeling that if – now, Boogie's getting released tomorrow. We should be signing him because we need another big man. I'm out. You guys have a good night. JD, what do you think about that?
You appreciate that call. I don't think that's going to happen. And the reason I don't think it's going to happen is not any fault of DeMarcus Cousins or anything necessarily about how the time that he spent with the Warriors played out. I just feel like James Wiseman's going to be coming back and Kevon Looney's going to be coming back and the Warriors are going to be in a position where they may not have enough big man minutes to go around with those two in the fold. And they've already acknowledged the fact that they need to find ways to play smaller. So, and then on top of that, you're going to have to cut somebody to bring him into the fold. So who are you going to cut? And I know for some that would be, all right, you cut Alan Smyla-Geach, you know, right now, or but are you going to cut Michael Mulder? Like, to me, you're not going to do all of that to bring in DeMarcus Cousins when you, at that point, would have Wiseman who needs to play, you'd have Looney who would play, you'd have Cousins who would play, you would have maybe Draymond you want to play at center, and then I still haven't even mentioned Eric Paschal. So I love Boogie. Going back to even my Sacramento days, I've always been a bigger fan of Boogie than probably just about anybody in the media. But I just don't think that's a fit.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I like Draymond. If God forbid, like somebody like Kevon Looney was out for the year, something like that, absolutely.
Sure.
Then you bring in DeMarcus Cousins. But the cavalry's coming. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks ago even, it might have even made more sense. But certainly not now. I mean, Wiseman and Looney are getting ready to come back. And look, I know that it's frustrating. You know, this team is kicking some games down the road right now. But one of the primary objectives for 2020-2021, other than trying to win as many basketball games as you can, is developing James Wiseman.
Yeah, absolutely. Jules and Hercules. Jules, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what up,
JD? Hey, Jules.
I don't know if you remember, I called a few weeks back about the coaching, and this is kind of like what I meant. I know, like, my point was kind of, like, misunderstood about kind of, like, lineups and stuff like that, but I meant more of, like, the management and discipline. Steve Kerr always preaches discipline, 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 but he doesn't discipline Draymond Green. He's not disciplined in certain crunch time situations. So it's just, like, interesting to kind of, like, see how he always preaches that. And, you know, at the end of the day, he doesn't follow through. And even I read a tweet that said, oh, yeah, like, I'm really proud of our guards. They played really hard, and, you know, they played their butts off. Did they really? Some of them did, like Wiggins and Oubre, but there are times where Draymond looked like the old Wiggins, where he just fell asleep at certain defensive positions, like possessions, and missed the layup. So it's just,
hey, Jules, I got a question for you. What do you want Steve Kerr to do to hold Draymond Green accountable?
Well, I think what he could actually do is kind of like at certain times, I think he does need to get benched, just like what happened to Wiseman. And I know some people won't like that because he's making all that money, but there's certain times where, like, he needs to do that, or certain times where, you know, like, he'll talk to him, you know, like, on the bench, tell him to calm down, because all the people that were holding him back today were the players, not him. And that always happens. And you know what? Like, I don't have, like, a really good answer for that besides those two things, but he needs to do something. I mean, it's obvious that he needs to do something where he kind of, like, balances it out and he disciplines him. And I understand he's a coach on the floor, but there's certain times where it's just like, man, come on, man, you have to manage that. He's yelling at Wiseman when he's the one making the bad pass at that one play. I don't know if you remember that, the pass where Wiseman got injured. Draymond's the one that made the bad pass. So I'm not saying, like, he needs to yell at Draymond or anything, but just, you know, manage it. You know, you're the one that learned from Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich. Come on. You're the one that keeps talking about discipline. So that's all I'm saying. And
thanks.
Thank you, guys. I always appreciate you guys. You guys are my favorite. I'm going to listen to you guys off the air. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Jules. And I appreciate your answer on that. Because and the reason I asked Covey, I mean, it's an obvious point, but the only thing you can do is bench him or suspend him. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, and those two things to me, I mean, that's extreme. So what are you going to do? You're going to tell Draymond he's going to take a seat on Tuesday night in the Garden because of tonight, and you're going to have it maybe cost you two games? I get, you know, some people think that might be the move. I think the cat's been out of the bag for a while with Draymond, and I think really this goes back to 2016, and it goes back to Oklahoma City on the night where Curry hit the shot on Saturday night on ABC in front of the nation, and, you know, the halftime of that game in the locker room, and, you know, Draymond's going off, and, you know, by all reports, I mean, there were things said there that for 99.9% of humans wouldn't be able to be overcome. And I think the Warriors did everything they could to overcome it because they had greatness and championships and historic, dynastic accomplishments ahead. And they all figured out a way to move forward and understand the passion and intent and everything that went along with it. But the cat was out of the bag then. And I think it reached a point of no return then, to where, you know, sitting a guy down, you know, sometimes you got to maybe do it for show, which I think the Warriors did when the incident happened with Kevin Durant going back to November of 2018. You know, he did get suspended that next game. I think that was, you know, sometimes you got to do it because it's the right look, and I understand that, respect that, but ultimately, did that change anything? No. Would Draymond getting suspended for Tuesday change anything? No. So I'm not a big fan of that personally, but I do understand people that think that could be the right way to go.
Look, man, when you re-up Draymond Green and you give him $100 million, you're basically saying you're willing to live with the highs and the lows. I mean, it's just part of the deal. It's part of the package. It's like anybody, when you draft a player, sign a player in free agency, trade for a player, you do your due diligence. Everybody's got pros. Everybody's got cons. They are saying, by giving Draymond Green that contract extension, they don't think that they can do better, and I understand that, you know, bird rights and salary cap structure, you couldn't just go out and spend that money on another player anyway. I understand that. But they're basically saying, we will live with Draymond Green doing things that hurt this basketball team sometimes, because most of the things he does in the long run helps this basketball team. It's the classic take the bitter with the sweet. Tonight, though, a particularly bitter taste in everyone's mouth.
888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey. It's Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. Hornets beat the Warriors on a Terry Rozier buzzer beater, a 20-foot pull-up, 102-100. This coming after Draymond Green picked up two technical fouls and was ejected, arguing a call following a jump ball where Gordon Hayward was awarded a timeout. Looked like he didn't have possession. Looked like it was a questionable call. So it was going to be Charlotte ball with the Hornets down by two in that situation. But the technical fouls give Rozier the opportunity to tie the game, which he did. And then Charlotte gets a shot to win it with 9.3 seconds to go. And Rozier would walk it down to right in front of the Warriors bench and knock it down in front of them. He had the last 10 points for the Charlotte Hornets in this one, and the Warriors were outscored 21-9 over the course of the last 4 minutes and 44 seconds as they lose for the second consecutive game. Andy in the city is up next here on Warriors Wrap-Up. What's going on, Andy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, really frustrating loss tonight. You know, I'm over here screaming at my television after Draymond, you know, did his antics. And what kind of makes me, you know, it really leaves me just kind of frustrated and mad what he did, because Draymond's been in this league for a long time and he's created that reputation where you're going to get targeted if, you know, you're mouthing off to the referees. And that's exactly what happened tonight. His reputation, which, you know, he yells at everybody, even his own teammates, it's gotten into great places, and it now it's, you know, making us lose these games. And obviously Wanamaker has, you know, something to do with it as well, with that low IQ, you know, just holding the ball at half court. Super weird. But the only, like, positive takeaway I can take from this game is Kelly Oubre had a pretty good game. You know, I don't know exactly what his plus-minus was. Definitely has to be in the plus, but he's getting – you know, hitting that three at a more consistent rate. And he was the best player out there tonight for the Golden State Warriors. And I remember the first time I called you guys, you were like, you know, at what point is it we have to wait for Oubre, have patience? At what point is it, don't tell me, show me? I guess he's showing us now, fellas. Yeah, thanks for letting me on, and I appreciate it. Take it easy, guys.
Yeah, you got it, Andy. Andy's line open, 888-957-9570. I mean, that is the biggest positive tonight. It was another really good Kelly Oubre game. It was another one of those 8-for-15. Wasn't 7-for-15, but it was 8-for-15 tonight for Andrew Wiggins. He knocked down a couple of threes. He winds up with 19 points in the ball game, and the Warriors got bench production, which they had to have in this one. 14 from Damian Lee, 14 from Wanamaker, 16 from Eric Paschal. Warriors had to have all that because they were missing Stephen Curry and the 30 points that he provides them. I mean, all in all, this would have been maybe the feel-good win of the season, and the Warriors have already had 5 or 6 pretty big wins considering the circumstances, and they just could not finish the deal for the second consecutive night. And on top of that now, there's questions about Draymond and questions about the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, as well.
Yeah, it went from, hey, this is going to be one of the feel-good wins of the year, to this is probably the low point of, this is officially the low point of the season. It's funny how things change. I mean, you have a team that struggles to get offensive rebounds all year. You finally get an offensive rebound at a critical time, and you got a chance to maybe kill off this basketball game. And instead, you look up a couple of minutes later of real time, and Terry Rozier is hitting a walk-off. I mean, it almost doesn't even seem real, but that's how it goes for this Golden State Warriors team. And I guess it's back to the drawing board. I mean, if you want to skew positive, I agree with the take on Oubre. Oubre played his ass off tonight. Several guys did. And the Warriors are still 16-15. You know, they still are in the hunt. They still got a lot to play for. But losses like this, kind of like, you know, wins like against the Heat the other night can propel you and you know, in a lot of ways, you know, make you believe even more. I think losses tonight, they plant big seeds of doubt. And hopefully the Warriors can overcome it. I love the effort tonight, even though you found out Steph Curry wasn't going to be in the lineup. But ultimately, this goes down as a crushing loss.
Let's get to Nick in Berkeley. Nick, you're up next here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's up, you guys? You know, like the other gentleman was saying, man, like, they target Draymond, but you know what? Them referees got to have a thicker skin. They're supposed to be professional referees, man. They're not high school refs, you know, with little grudges and teeing up little high school kids, man. They got to be more professional, and they got to bite their tongue sometimes, too, and take a little, you know, take a little yelling, especially when they're missing calls. You know, they're not perfect. So why, you know, they expect the players to walk this far. And, you know, and be all super polite to them all the time. No, that's not how it works. So they know that coming in. They got to have thick skin. They get paid to have thick skin. And now Draymond isn't the reason why we lost the game. The reason why we lost the game is free throws, and we couldn't play defense for one stretch down the stretch, and we gave up too many easy buckets, and it got outscored in the fourth quarter. I mean, if you get outscored in the fourth quarter, most of the time you're going to lose the game. They should have been getting more rebounds, and that's it. So that's why we got to go get a big man and sign another, you know, and get busy. But other than that, the Warriors, they bounced back from that crushing loss, and they played great tonight. It's a lot of positives. It's always a positive in every loss that you have, and if they keep building on it, they will make the playoffs. They just got to be smarter. He's doing a great job with what he has. You can't blame him for the players not executing, so they got to execute because they're professionals and they get paid to do it. He can't play for them.
So, yeah, that's what I have to say, man.
All right, good stuff, Nick. Appreciate the call. 888-957-9570. We're up against it, so we'll react to some of the things Nick had to say there. I don't disagree with some of the points about the officials, but here's the deal. You got to respect the officials, or they'll hit you with a tech. Like, it ain't free.
Those are the rules.
Like you can get mad, and they can give you a tech. And they can be wrong, and they can still give you a tech. Like, that, it ain't an even and fair society. Like, that's just the bottom line. So, Warriors wrap up rolling on here. We'll hear from Steve Kerr, but as long as the people want to talk on the phone lines, we will hear from you as Warriors wrap up continues on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wiggins, top of the key. Shot clock at 5. Gotta go. Working on Washington on the switch. Wiggins dribbles in. Throws out Oubre Jr. Corner 3. Good from the right corner. Oubre Jr. nailed it. And the Warriors lead by 5 with 49 seconds left.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, 100-95 Warriors at that point. Unfortunately, Terry Rozier wasn't done. He would hit a three. Andrew Wiggins would miss. Draymond Green would get the rebound, and then it would end up going into the jump ball situation. So after that second Terry Rozier three, it was 100-98. Then the technical foul comes, which ties the game, and we saw how this thing ended and heard here on 95.7 The Game. Terry Rozier with the 20-footer to put the Warriors away. 102-100, the final. 888-957-9570. We're going to hear from Steve Kerr, from Eric Paschal, and from Damian Lee. But first, I want to get to Steve. Steve and Pacheco, he's up next here. You're on Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's going on, Covey? JD, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yes, sir.
You got it.
What's up, dog?
Hey, it was tough game overall, but I will say I'm proud of the squad, that what they put out there tonight. We only had 15 points in the first quarter, and then to be within a two-point game all the way at the end, we probably had a chance to win. You know, I'm still proud of the guys for what they put out. Obviously, you put Steph on the court, it's a completely different game, and that's our game right now is Steph.
Yeah, it's a great effort, Steve. There's no doubt. This is a game the Warriors probably win if they get a normal Steph game, because Charlotte was terrible. I mean, to me, that's the part that's the biggest gut punch. Yeah. Other than making a bunch of threes, I thought Charlotte was – they were – that was a pretty low-level effort until about the four-minute mark from them. I know they hadn't played in 6 days, but the Warriors were just – kind of punking them in terms of effort, intensity, flying around, hustle. Like, that was kind of a, to be perfectly honest, a gutless effort by Charlotte tonight. And the Warriors really brought it and looked like they were going to earn themselves a win shorthanded because of it. But it winds up all going for naught.
Yeah, they hit a bunch of threes, like you said, JD. They turned the rock over 24 times. I think there was a little bit of rust there from, having, 6 days off. And I think the Warriors –
they use no Steph Curry as the rallying cry, and I think Steve's point's well taken. I mean, they get off to the slow start with the 15 in the first quarter, but by the second quarter, you know, the Warriors had really started to roll, man, and impose their will to the point where they build up a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, but at that point it becomes a you-just-gotta-have-it game. So, you know, kind of like Orlando last night, I guess you give them credit for finding a way to come back, but obviously very different circumstances tonight.
Well, and what's crushing is you lose both of them. Like, if the Warriors do find a way to eke out tonight without Steph especially.
Oh, yeah.
And if they're able to win that game and it's 17-14, like if they win tonight, I'm coming on the air and I'm saying, you know what, tonight makes up for last night. Mm-hmm. Like, you're at 17-14, that feels about right. Now at 16-15, to be perfectly honest, I feel like this team now has left one or two on the table. I feel like this team should be at least 17-14. Really the first time all year where I feel like their record isn't as good as it probably should be. Like, tonight was the tipping point for me along those lines. Let's get to Priest. Priest is up next here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Hey, Priest.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. Hey, listen, you know, not that the officials have anything against the Warriors, but the officials don't like Draymond, and they will bait him. At some point, Draymond's an extremely smart, high IQ player. And I know that the coaches have told him this on several occasions. They're baiting you, but he bites at the worst possible time sometimes. And at some point, he's got to understand it's a fight he can't win. Don't fight battles you have no chance of winning. Give yourself a chance to survive. Bait them. Play the game. Play chess. He can do that mentally with them. And tonight was just, you know, a brain fart. He let them play him. Because those calls were obvious calls that should have been made in the Warriors' favor. They didn't make them. Draymond was getting irritated, and they knew if he blew up, they were going to slap him out of the game. I've watched them do it to him on several occasions. At some point, and I know you guys can't comment on this,
I actually agree with you, Priest. I'll say it. I agree with you. But you're making the other point. He's gotta know it's coming and not take the bait.
Right. He's gotta stop taking it because he just loses control of his emotions and he just steps in it. And
yeah.
Steve Kerr's tired of it. Because he knows better. They've talked this over too many times for him to make a mistake like tonight. So
thanks,
you know,
Priest.
I'm not worried about it. Yeah, as I told you guys before, I'm playing the long game. I'm not worried about this year. I'm waiting until October 15th. But I'm enjoying every minute. Take care, guys.
All right, great call from Priest. Like, I have no problem saying it. I guess the extension of it, and I agree with Priest, the second part too. If that's what you think is going on there, you still got to hold yourself up and not – if you think you're getting baited, it doesn't matter because they hold all the cards. Like, so at some point, you have to either suck it up and not lose your cool or you're going to continue to get run. I mean, I'll admit it. I'm the kind of person that I got a temper. And you know what? Sometimes people try to use that against me. And you know what? There's times where I slip up. And it's my fault if I slip up, you know, right, in the wrong situation and it becomes kind of a catastrophic circumstance like it did tonight. That's on me. You got to own it even if you know it's coming and even if you think, you know, that people are really trying to get your goat.
Right. And we're cut from the same cloth, JD, and your response there and your perspective on it comes with experience, right? Same with me. Like, you've learned the hard way a lot of things. And I think what gets frustrating for Warriors fans is Draymond knows all this stuff too, but yet for some reason, either he doesn't feel like he needs to abide by his past lessons, learn from them, whatever it is, or he just refuses to change and take ownership of it and kind of grow out of it. Because, I mean, let's face it, man, it's schoolyard stuff. And, oh, I don't like the officials. It's just, I don't like the rules, you know. I don't want to play, you know, I want to play by my own rules. And It doesn't work like that. You don't have to. I think the speed limit should be 85 for a driver like me because I can bob and weave in traffic. But you know what? I still get speeding tickets when I'm going too fast because them's the rules. I don't like it, but I got to play by them. If I don't, I get tickets. Draymond might not like the rules. The rules might be silly and archaic, and you know the refs might be oversensitive, but we already know that on the front end. So I think all players know that. It's the ones that understand that and don't let that get them down and fall into their trap. Those are the guys that get by. The guys that do, Draymond being, really near the top of that list, he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt from an official. He's like airing the dude out and cussing him.
Yeah, and they're waiting. And that's the thing. They're waiting for it, and he gives them exactly what they're looking for, in that moment. I think a couple of those calls were bad. I don't think the Hornets should have been awarded the timeout. It happens. You can't lose your mind to the point where you get a technical foul that allows them to tie the game in that situation. You just can't do it. And I think at times, right, Draymond thinks of it as, well, damn it, I don't care. I think, I'm going to make this
right
point that I'm being wronged. And I don't care if it winds up being like, oh he's going to run me in that situation. Almost like daring him to. And you know what? Yeah. You know what? You could make a case whether that's right or wrong given the situation, and it doesn't happen often. But when you're a dude that has a reputation of that, they're going to be less apt to only give you one tech or walk away and not give you any techs.
Right. Well, and I think, too, the second tech for me, the first tech's bad enough, but the second tech, that's inexcusable. I mean, because you already know you've been teed up, but yet you still won't stop. That to me is like you cross the threshold into it's almost like blind rage, and you feel totally justified in having your little rant. But you have to know at this point, when you do things like that, you're crushing your team. And we're not talking about, arguing over a jump ball in the third quarter of a 5-point game. This literally was the difference between winning and losing the game. You had the lead at the moment. Like, worst case scenario, they're down 2 with the Rock. Like, you could still get out of there with a win. You can't do that. It's unacceptable. And look, here's the other thing. All we hear is, about the leadership angles and, how he's mentoring James Wiseman. And I'm sure there's been a very positive impact on his career. But how can a youngster like James Wiseman be sitting there and thinking, oh, wait, this dude doesn't practice what he preaches? There's a lot of things in this world, JD, that I don't appreciate. Probably at the top of the list is hypocrisy. Like, to me, practice what you preach. And if you're telling James Wiseman about this and that and how you're going to succeed at the NBA level, man, if you're talking that talk, you better be walking that walk. How's James Wiseman supposed to take what Draymond Green says serious about commitment and, this is the same guy airing out Kevin Durant about his business and his commitment to the team, but yet he's willing to just take a couple of selfish technicals that cost a team a game? Why? Because he wants to feel better about himself? Miss me with that.
All right, Will in San Francisco's up next here on Warriors Wrap-Up. We got a lot of people that still want to talk. We're going to keep this thing rolling as long as the people want to talk tonight. It's Warriors fans' opportunity to be heard, and we want to do that for you here on 95.7 The Game. Will, you're next.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I want to be very clear when I say this. No one has been more important to the culture of the Warriors in terms of building it, being the leader, the guy you come to with post-game interviews than Draymond Green. But what we saw tonight was completely unacceptable, and this has been, unfortunately, a recurring act. Going back to his fight with KD, 2016 playoffs, he gets suspended. That probably costs the finals. He's gotten into some tussles with Kerr before, too. I think we have to get to a point where we might have to suspend this man for the next game because of what he committed tonight, because very few times in your fandom is one player solely responsible for a loss. For my Niners fans out there, Kyle Williams comes to mind in the NFC Championship game 2011 when he fumbled those two punts. I mean, it wasn't even a foul that Draymond had on the floor. It was a timeout, correct? That Gordon
yes.
Hayward called. Am I being correct in that?
It was not
We're
called a foul.
It was
timeout.
Yes, correct. So we still have a possession. We're still up by 2. Our defense was playing great all night. I trust them to make the stop. But when your defensive leader and your vocal leader pull that kind of crap where you just go out on double technicals, and by the way, Draymond might be my favorite Warrior of all time, but that is just the most unacceptable thing to happen during a game, and I think –
Thanks, Will. Appreciate the call. 888-957-9570. I don't see that happening. I think the bed's already been made with that thing. Yeah. You take the good with the bad, and at this point, you take a couple days off, and you move forward, and you just try to keep bouncing back, because the Warriors did put forth a hell of an effort without Steph Curry on the second night of a back-to-back and had a great opportunity to win this game. To me, cooler heads prevail, and you don't want this thing lingering. Like, you don't want it to be a conversation Tuesday, Monday because Draymond's going to get suspended, and then Tuesday because he got suspended, and then Wednesday because he came back from suspension. Like, you don't, like, to me, that's not even worth it at this point in time. You take a couple days, you clear your head, you're 16-15, cooler heads prevail, and that cat was out of the bag 5 years ago.
Yeah, agreed, 100%.
Let's hear from Steve Kerr on the key points of this ball game. Again, we still have some time for some phone calls if you want to jump in at 888-957-9570. But let's run through some post-game sound. Here's Coach Kerr, plain and simple, on the final seconds.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unwind. But if you just want to cut to the chase, it's a very difficult call on a loose ball that becomes a jump ball that, you know, they get a timeout on, especially because in the exact same situation, I was trying to call a timeout when Brad had the ball at the top of the key when they forced the jump ball just prior to that. So given that the exact same thing happened back to back, only we actually had possession of the ball when I tried to call timeout. And then watching the replay after the game, it's a loose ball. You know, the ball's actually bouncing on the floor. Draymond dives after it. In my estimation, should be another jump ball. As for the technicals, Draymond can't do that. He knows that. He made a terrible mistake getting teed up and giving them the chance to shoot two free throws and tie the game.
So there you have it. And I agree with Steve Kerr's assessment of the previous plays as far as, like, I don't think Hayward had possession. And I do think, you know, there was maybe a window where there could have been a timeout on the Wanamaker play after the officials didn't call the foul before it was called a jump ball. Now, I couldn't see Steve Kerr, but if he says he was calling a timeout and didn't get the timeout call, I'm going to take him at his word
sure.
on that one. So all of that I agree with. It's unfortunate. Warriors have to deal with it. But the key point there is the take on Draymond.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And yeah, I think, too, on the jump ball, Hayward, I think the refs thought Hayward had it, and then he kind of bobbled it again, right? But I think they had already technically awarded the timeout. That's why it was so surprising. You're like, wait, what? Like, Draymond's fighting with Hayward. Like, Draymond leaped onto the ground because it was a loose ball, right? I mean, he saw it. We all saw it plain as day. But I think the refs, because there was that moment, JD, where, like, he had it, right? And then he kind of started going down, and then he kind of bobbled it. It's kind of like, you know, in the NFL, what's a catch, right? And, you know, it was, did he actually have possession? And Draymond, to his credit, pounced on it because he knew that he didn't have total control of the ball. So, I understand why Steve Kerr was a little confused by that, and I also understand why Draymond Green was pissed off about it. There's a difference, though, between being pissed off about something and losing your mind, and, well, we saw the latter.
All right, let's hear more from Steve Kerr on the communication that goes on between he and Draymond Green in a situation like what happened tonight.
As his coach, it's my job to communicate with him and with the team. So that's what we've done, and that's what we will continue to do. But he crossed the line. That's the main thing. You know, we love his passion and his energy, and, you know, we would not be the team we are without him. But that doesn't give him license to cross that line, and he knows that.
Again, unequivocally, straight to the point, always appropriate. Steve Kerr, bottom line, point blank, cross the line, can't happen.
Yeah, he's right. And I, you know, I appreciate that. He's not caping up for him by any stretch. And look, I think, too, like a lot of people, myself included, JD, there's times, in my life, plenty of times where you lose your temper, you know, you do something totally selfish that may, hurt somebody else, not physically, but, your behavior affects somebody else in a very negative way. In this instance, his behavior affected the team in a very negative way. I'm sure Draymond was remorseful
very quickly once he cooled off a bit in that locker room and he realized, oh, man, I probably just cost us a win. Again, it doesn't excuse it, but what else can you do there? That's the cost of doing business with Draymond Green on your basketball team. So you take it, you know, hopefully he apologizes from it, let him use it as motivation going forward, and I totally agree with you, man. The sooner you can compartmentalize this and turn the page, the better, because you don't want this thing lingering around. Draymond Green is your guy, man. He's your center. You're committed to him for the next several years, so I think he's handling it right. He's calling him out appropriately, but at the same time, he's not trying to blast him. You know, he's also talking about the passion and all that, like, because he understands he still needs the guy.
All right, the NBA has released the official pool report. Anytime there's questions about officiating and calls late in games, there can be a designated pool reporter from the site that's on hand that can go in and ask some questions of the crew chief, basically, and that was conducted by Rick Bunnell, your buddy Rick Bunnell, who joined you guys from the Charlotte Observer. He busy day for Rick Bunnell.
Right.
He caught up with Mark Davis following the game, and I'm just going to read it to transcript. The question, can you describe why Draymond Green was ejected? Mark Davis says, his first technical foul was assessed when he directed profanity at his opponent. He was assessed his first technical foul for verbally taunting an opponent. He then proceeded to direct screaming profanity at a game official and received his second technical foul and was ejected per rule. So some new information there from Mark Davis. Just that's the first back and forth. I'll read the rest of it. But the first, I didn't see that part of it, but it's one tech for taunting an opponent. And then what am I missing there? I mean, did you catch what that would mean?
No, I mean, I think he was just upset that I think the players on Charlotte were pleased as punch that they got the timeout called, and they were lobbying that, hey, he had possession. So I think Draymond probably took exception to that, you know, and again, I'm just speculating here, but this is just based on the body language and the way it played out. You know, he's probably thinking UMFers didn't secure that rebound, and, you know, so he's addressing hostility at the Charlotte Hornets at that point. So, again, like, probably not the best time to do that, and certainly you can be frustrated, but there's a way to handle things. The other nine guys, or, you know, certainly the other four Warriors on the floor handled it with a little more decorum, and I don't mind passion, but we all know where the line is. And then once he got teed up by the refs, he probably thought, wait, what the hell, you're going to tee me up for that? Well, now I got a few choice words for you, Mr. Official, hence technical number two, and we'll see you later.
All right, two more back and forths here. The second question, the original tie-up with Wanamaker, what happened there? That was the question, and Mark Davis, the official, says, quote, LaMelo ties Brad up prior to Kerr requesting the timeout. The post-game video confirmed this decision as correctly judged. So the officials obviously can go in and look at their calls and very quickly determine whether they punted a call or not. And so Mark Davis doubling down, saying that the post-game video agrees with what was called on the floor, that LaMelo Ball tied up Wanamaker before Kerr called the timeout. So then it goes back to, okay, well, why wasn't there a foul called, I think? Now, that was not addressed in this pool report, but I think it's open for discussion. The third part of this, and the third question from Rick Bunnell, when Charlotte was awarded a timeout prior to Draymond's ejection, why was Charlotte awarded a timeout, as it appeared there may have still been some battle for possession of the ball? So that's on that play. Mark Davis says P.J. Washington requested the timeout, and Hayward had clear and sole possession of the ball. As per rule, Charlotte was granted the timeout. He goes on to add again here, post-game video review confirms this decision. Now, the NBA will release a last two-minute report tomorrow where they will critique all of these calls in the close game in the final 2 minutes, and the league itself will be the judge and the jury. Now, it's obviously not going to flip a game or anything like that, but Mark Davis pretty confident in his crew and the way they handled things on a couple of those instances.
Fair enough. I basically agreed with everything he said, you know, and I'm assuming that the Kerr stuff will check out, right, on the video. But we didn't see that. What I saw with my own eyes was Gordon Hayward lose the handle on a ball, and Draymond Green pounced on it, and that ball should have still been live. Like, I totally disagree with that take.
Yeah, so we'll see what the last two-minute report. Look for that usually sometime in the afternoon, anywhere between maybe noon and about 2 o'clock typically on the day following games. The league will release that. And so it'll be fun to check out, and obviously something I'm sure we'll be talking about on Monday on the final word, as there's going to be a couple of days off for the Warriors between now and their next game. I do want to get to a little bit more sound here before we close things out, and I do want to get Steve Kerr on what was going on with Stephen Curry, obviously unable to play. Yeah. Here's what Coach Kerr said about the late scratch.
Yeah, he's going through his usual warm-up routine. He just did not feel well at all. And so he came back in, saw the Charlotte team doctor, went out, tried to warm up, and just wasn't feeling good. And so we made the decision, training staff and Steph and I, we all made the decision to not play him. So we'll see how he's doing tomorrow.
So, yeah, there you go. Kind of an odd situation. The Warriors never going to risk it, obviously, with the franchise. And, you know, you just hope he's feeling better. I know, you know, we've just kind of our own two eyes. We've said, you know, Steph looks a little tired. He's been carrying a lot of the weight lately. I mean, this could just be a natural thing, man. You go home and it's, you know, I emotional probably a little bit. You're a little wound up. You're excited to play in that building, even without you know, people there, and maybe, you know, he just wasn't feeling well. It is not COVID related at this point, though. That's been made clear in a number of different ways. No health and safety protocol issues. This is just Steph not feeling well. Obviously, players are tested two times a day, every day at this point. So if there's some kind of change there, I'm sure we're all going to hear about it in short order. But so we want to make sure we point that out. But yeah, Steph just not feeling well.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, you hope, hey, first of all, get well soon, Steph. You know, they need this guy. But, yeah, I think it all kind of adds up. I mean, we've seen Steph just maybe, you know, looking a little worn down, and through no fault of his own, dude's been playing his ass off. So, you know, I would have rather – it would have been nice if he would have just been able to just stay, you know, away from the arena today, right? And, you know, but I know he wanted to gut it out and play. Obviously, Steph's a gamer. We know that. We know how much this game – all games mean to him, but it's particularly a game like this in Charlotte. Warriors coming off a tough loss. So, clearly, that was the right move. If Steph thought it was the right move, it was the right move. And heck, man, the Warriors almost got it done even without him tonight. Came up just a little short, but hopefully Steph will be okay for the game on Tuesday night.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. We're rolling on here for just a couple of more minutes. Warriors wrap up with JD and Covey. Tough one for the Dubs. 102-100 is the final as the Hornets beat Golden State. The Terry Rozier buzzer beater in this one as the Warriors get outscored 21-9 in the final 4:44 of this ballgame. Warriors have played exceptional defense all night long until those final 4:44 when they let Scary Terry get rolling, and he went for the final 10, including a couple of just incredible makes, and then the two unfortunate technical free throws based on Draymond Green getting himself ejected. A lot of conversation about what was said in the locker room. I know Steve Kerr declined to talk about specifically the conversation that he had with Draymond Green or would have with Draymond Green. Eric Paschal, though, did meet with the media, and here's what Eric Paschal said that Draymond said to the team in the locker room.
He said it was his fault. I mean, and he took ownership, and as he always does as a leader. And again, we still rocking with Dre, no matter what. Great dude, competitor. So it's all good. I mean, shit happens in the NBA. And we're just going to learn from it, try to come back again, try to win the next one.
All right. So, and there was some question there. I know Connor Letourneau had quoted that. I know we have the audio, so I wanted to roll the audio. Connor had quoted that, and, you know, saying that the loss was his fault. Let's play the first part of that. Well, he paraphrased that part, but I want to hear that first part again that Eric Paschal said. So if we can re-roll that, Sterling, that would be great.
He said it was his fault. I mean,
and, okay.
And that's, he took ownership.
So there you go. I mean, so Paschal did say that Draymond said it was his fault. Eric Paschal then quote tweeted Connor Letourneau and what he said, and Eric Paschal said, "I never said that he said the loss was his fault." So,
right. Well, because he never said the words "the loss," and I think it was some semantics there. That clearly that's what was implied.
Sure.
But Connor technically misquoted him. I think that's just Pascal, you know, not wanting anybody to misquote anything that he says, and because we can only infer what we like based on what he said, right? And he just said Draymond said it was his fault. He didn't say specifically the loss was his fault. I think maybe that's Pascal's way of saying, look, we lose as a team or we win as a team. Well, so what was his fault then? Like getting the technicals? Okay, fair enough. But I think that was a little bit of semantics there by Pascal. I mean, he's right, but, you know, come on. We know what he's talking about.
Well, and it's worth pointing out. I mean, it's worth – because that's something that can be misconstrued and lead to, you know, some maybe, you know, discussions that are a little bit off the mark. So I think it's always fair, and I appreciate you for alerting me to that. I knew we had the actual sound, so it was going to be worth obviously playing here. One more cut from Damian Lee, specifically as it pertains to Draymond, as he met with the media following this one. Damian Lee made it pretty clear that he's got no issue with Draymond Green.
At the end of the day, Draymond's, you know, one of my vets. He's a leader, and I'll continue to, you know, look at him or look towards him for leadership. He's been in this league long enough, and he's a professional. He knows, you know, what's right, what's wrong, and it doesn't matter day in and day out. I'm always going to ride with Day Day. So, you know, throughout the good, throughout the bad, I'm always going to ride with Draymond and, you know, go from there. I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm a Warrior or not a Warrior. That's my guy. It's one of my vets, and I'm always going to ride with Day Day.
So there's two players now that we've heard from, two players riding with Draymond Green, as you would expect, right?
Yeah, what else, what are they going to say? You know, yeah, Draymond screwed us, man. I've had it with that guy. Like, Damian Lee, you know, God love Damian Lee, but, you know, he could be working at Walmart, you know, in 2 years, right? I mean, look, I'm not trying to besmirch Damian Lee. My point is, like, Draymond Green is, you know, one of the elder statesmen on this team. He's making a ton of money. He's got a ton of influence. I mean, look, it's one of those things, too, where if you pay attention to the league and you know Draymond Green's history, clearly the Warriors front office and the Warriors brass, the decision makers for the Golden State Warriors, have decided that they'll live with Draymond Green doing this kind of stuff because they gave him $100 million, okay? So if you're Damian Lee, that's not your business to speak on. Like, even if you feel some kind of way about him, you're certainly not going to say anything about it in a public forum. I mean, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, and I still think it's also, look, these guys know what Draymond brings to the table because they live it and see it every single day. And yes, the dude can lose his cool, but he also is, you know, he's the heart and soul. He's the engine, I think, a lot of the time for this team, and also a lot of the brains for this team as well. I mean, he is one of the most intelligent basketball players going in the NBA. So it just from time to time, the temper, obviously, with the officials can get the best of them, and the temper in general can get the best of them, and that's obviously caused some problems to varying degrees over the course of his career. So rough one for the Warriors. They'll try to bounce back on Tuesday in New York. Off day tomorrow, they're staying over in Charlotte, and then they'll travel and take on the Knicks after a practice on Monday. They'll take on the Knicks Tuesday, then Indiana on Wednesday. That's going to do it for us, man. Appreciate you. I know it was a long day, Covey, for both of us.
Yeah, no doubt.
We got it rolling 9 o'clock, but sometimes the people need to be heard. We want to make sure we give everybody full context of everything, and I really think we hit every possible angle we could in terms of letting the fans vent and making sure we hear from the head coach and the players as well, and even the officials via that pool report before we get out of here tonight.
Absolutely, man. All sides were heard from. The only thing I'm interested, JD, in is finding the truth around here, right? And a tough way for the Dubs to lose. Back at it. You're still a game over 500. Got to learn from this. And I think, you know, there's a first half of the season and a second half of the season. Hopefully some of these mistakes and some of these things that are costing them games in the first half will be buttoned up by the second half. And this team still has everything to play for. They showed resolve tonight, JD, based on the way things ended in Orlando last night. Obviously, it came apart at the end. But I'm still overall proud of the performance tonight for, 47 and minutes and 48 seconds, whatever it was. So, look, this team still has a ways to go as a group, but they're a good basketball team. They're not a great team, but they're a good basketball team, and hopefully they're going to smooth some of these edges out. And I think regardless, it's never dull, my friend.
Good stuff, my man. We're back with the final word. Full four-hour show on Monday. So looking forward to that as well. Enjoy the off day tomorrow, brother.
You too, bro.
And we'll be back at it on Monday. Thanks to everybody today. Sterling, we appreciate his help. Arden, Sam, great job from the weekend crew, putting in a lot of long hours today as well, getting it done for Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson. We'll talk to you on Monday on the final word. Tuesday for Warriors Live as the Warriors will take on the Knicks. Hornets, they get the better of the Dubs tonight. 102-100, and you heard it all right here on your home for Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.